Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast with me, Robbie Musto, and him, Robbie Earl. And we've got to the Sunday, the final day of week 15 in the Premier League. And we're going to review the big game today. Manchester City finding their way to the top of the table again with an 8-point lead. But we've asked Rob, our listeners, to rate and review the shows and also give us a little insight about which team they support and why. And let's just read a couple now. We've had plenty of great reviews and many thanks for that, and keep them coming. We had a really interesting one here from Awanam, who basically, in his review, he says, "I'm a Swans fan to the core. I chose the Swans 2 years ago because they were the only Welsh club in the Premier League. Their rise to the Premier League after being on the brink of insolvency is an amazing story. They're also a small club, and I always like to root for the underdog. Go Swans."
Yeah, it's a great one, mate. I got one from H.S. Murthy, who says, "Not only does he love us guys, but he didn't get into football till 2003 in the Caribbean. He first saw Arsenal play at Highbury. Thierry Henry was playing and flying down the wing. He said it was a sight to behold. Arsenal were playing their beautiful football. Having said that, since then, he's been a suffering gooner ever since." So a couple of great reviews. Make sure you keep them coming in, and we'll read out the best ones in our next podcast. But as you said, Robbie Musto, let's talk about the league leaders. They've established an 8-point gap again at the top of the table. Left it late. Wasn't as comfortable, certainly, as Pep Guardiola would have liked, but a 2-1 win against West Ham. Initial thoughts, do you get, if you're a Manchester City player right now, do you get confidence from these late winners or concerned about these late winners?
I think certain players will be on both sides of this. For me, I would be a little bit concerned. Mm-hmm. I don't think City are playing quite the same, though that's going to be difficult to maintain that standard of football throughout a season. But the last few, there's just been a little bit of drop-off. I mean, it really is hard to be that creative all the time. And what we've seen is kind of a slow start, a punch on the nose, a reaction, you know, and a little bit of up to kind of 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10 in terms of their intensity, in terms of their quality, and it's been enough to get goals and late goals. I just don't think that can continue. I sat there today thinking, I think they're going to drop points here. You know, again, it's the same situation as other games recently where they haven't got ahead or got that extra goal to be 2 or 3 ahead, and I didn't really think they were going to do it. But again, we saw, Rob, a world-class goal, and I don't know, with De Bruyne's pass for David Silva's finish, and I just don't know whether, you know, you can't expect or rely on that every single weekend.
No, but what I would say is, I mean, we've seen some scintillating football from Manchester City, this team. We're playing with a different style, playing with a different system, playing just with a whole different rhythm than we've seen in the Premier League, you know, going back to the very start. But I think we all thought there's going to be a spell when Manchester City can't keep this up.
Yeah.
Maybe this is it.
Yeah.
Maybe this is their spell where we don't play quite as good, but we get the results. The last four games for Manchester City, they've all been won by goals in the 83rd minute or later. Now, I know where you're trying to go, that you're saying that margin for error seems to be getting smaller, and maybe there's a day when they don't come up with a De Bruyne pass in the silver goal.
And that
goal
might be the case, and that's okay. I mean, teams don't win 38 or whatever. Yeah. They haven't, you know, of course, they drew against Everton. And you're right. And also, I guess on the plus side of that is, the football maybe isn't quite as incredible, but the character shown and the belief is something that I think Pep Guardiola will love. I think it is an absolute sign of champions. We've seen this in previous seasons with teams that go on and win it. So I think that's the other side of it all. But maybe you're right. It's a good point. I mean, maybe, you know, this is their, I'm not going to say a blip, because obviously, winning games isn't a blip, but they haven't been quite the same team.
And by the way, you look at the team today, there was Fernandinho and Vincent Kompany started on the bench. kind of rested maybe in kinds of games, but also they were both on four yellow cards, didn't want to go into the game and maybe pick up a yellow card, which means they'd miss the Manchester derby. I think, you know, the number of games that City have had, they've got another Champions League game before we get to the Manchester derby next weekend. So you get a bit of fatigue at this time of the year.
Also, just on Pep's decisions today and his substitutions.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't, and it's really hard to get into too much detail because it is quite detailed what Pep Guardiola does. But this was a normal 4-3-3 at the start.
Yeah.
And then the game goes against him. Second half, Jesus comes on and it becomes a 4-2-4.
Yeah.
Okay.
Delph started in midfield. Then he went to left back.
But so he's left back in a four. But it's not really a 4-2-4 because those two midfield players were De Bruyne and David Silva, which is pretty amazing because they're not holding players or central generals, if you like. So Delph went in there, which released David Silva and Kevin De Bruyne to go and do stuff with the front four.
So we've got an attacking six.
So you kind of have an attacking six. So and that brought about the goals, and then they get the second goal. They readjust again, and Aguero goes off and Fernandinho comes on. So I think, you know, it sometimes not noticed, but that was important tactical stuff that he did today, and that is a strength of Pep that he can rejig and really try and force extra bodies to break down these heavily packed defences.
Well, I think there's a couple of things there, and I totally agree with you, but in some respects, after the game in his press match conference, he said he learned something today about a West Ham team that tucked in and said that at times had 10 men in the box and we had to break them down. And he said, maybe I learned that I maybe need to use a different system. Maybe there's a different way of playing. And David Silva went even further to say, we work on these things in training because we know teams are not going to give us the space and pack it in. So certainly something they work on, certainly something I think the players are focused on. And I just sort of want to go back, and you touched on it before, about teams that win titles. I can only go back to the Fergie time, the time in injury time when Sir Alex Ferguson would be on to the fourth official saying it should be another 2 or 3 minutes. And the amount of times Manchester United got goals
but
in that
period.
But
why did they get goals in that period?
Because they still believed in what they were doing.
They're a better team than a lot of the opponents, and the longer they get at it, they're going to get that goal.
And I think Manchester City are very similar. With the amount of goal-scoring talent you have on the pitch, every minute counts. Because if you're in a tight game, you've got players on that pitch who can win you the match. And again, David Silva came up with the goal this time. He's been 8 assists this season, the most in the league. You've got Jesus, you've got Aguero, you've got Sané, you've got Sterling, Fernandinho's chipped in with a few. Otamendi's got 3.
Yeah, and it's just to continue that. I mean, it seems to be each week, it's somebody else doing something ridiculous. Mm. We've seen stuff from Aguero and Jesus. Leroy Sané had a little purple patch. Mm. Raheem Sterling in the last game, where he bends in the top corner. Mm. Today, I mean, De Bruyne's done it before, of course. Yeah. And it was David Silva today that came up with a spectacular kind of aerial attempt that was very well controlled, but very artistically managed. Somebody stepping up all the time.
Let me give you some hope for the league, for the rest of the league. Corner kicks against Manchester City. Mm. Near post flick, running behind head.
Long.
Basic stuff is
long.
Causing them a problem. And Pep Guardiola seems to say, well, if teams are bigger than us, I'm not really going to be able to deal with that. Is that an area where you can sort of say, you know what, if we keep it tight and play for set pieces, long throws, I mean, let's go Wimbledon style. Let's go back to the good old days.
If Jose Mourinho and the staff of Manchester United haven't taken a note from today and the last two games,
Huddersfield,
where they conceded, and Southampton, where they could have conceded two goals, you know, I looked at it and we did a little bit of analysis about the way they're addressing that problem. Mm. They're not addressing it. They're in their zones, Rob, and this is where the game's changed over the last 10 years. Mm. Near post corners, when we were playing, was an incredibly worked on
flick
every team.
Yeah.
You know, like things get like a fad in the Premier League. Near post corners was it for a long time. So the current day teams don't know how to handle it because it's like we faced it all the time, so we worked on it a lot.
Yeah.
City aren't working on it. Mourinho, I would have to think, Rob, and we'll, of course, we'll look closely for it on Sunday.
Yeah.
Are they going to work on near post flicks? Because they've got bigger players, they've got players with quality that can deliver the balls into that area. And City, I guess I'm not going to guarantee, but I would bet that they ain't going to work on it during this week to try and stop that, because Pep's attitude, which is a little bit, not worrying, but surprising, that he's like, they're taller than us, and that's hard to manage. So it's a good pickup, and I think we've got to look for it not only next weekend, but going forward for them.
We're into the Manchester Derby. Yeah. Everybody's looking forward to it now. I mean, Manchester City got the 13th straight win that equals top flight record. So, you know, we've got to give our appreciation to them. But now we move forward to a huge game at Old Trafford next weekend. Manchester United versus Manchester City. Jose Mourinho versus Pep Guardiola. What we know with Jose is he's a stickler for detail. He'll have had the tapes of Huddersfield, of Southampton, of West Ham. What do you think's his biggest tactical approach to this game? Parking the bus, the semi-press like he did at Arsenal, can a man-to-man people out the game as we've seen him do in the past? Jose Mourinho is a man with a plan. What do you think the plan's going to be?
I'll tell you what the plan's going to be. Three at the back, which enables the wing-backs to get in the faces of Leroy Sané and Raheem Sterling.
Because so push them back.
Well, push them back or just be in their faces. So they've got no other responsibility of those wing-backs to cover inside or to worry about anything else. Mm. There you go, guys. They're your men. You stop Leroy Sané and Raheem Sterling from making those runs in behind, which they're incredibly good at. Mm. That's your job. Okay, so there's that's that part closed up. Then and then you've got three guys, centre-backs to mark Aguero, whoever it is a striker. Yeah, and then the next part is the centre of midfield. And in Kevin De Bruyne and David Silva, they're the two players. I think Jose Mourinho will absolutely put fine men to put on them to say the same thing. There's your guys.
So who from Manchester United can do those jobs? Because it's one thing to say it. It's another to have the energy, the determination, the defensive discipline to do it.
Ander Herrera will mark one of them. Probably Kevin De Bruyne. Nemanja Matic could do another. And Jesse Lingard will be the player that's a little bit higher that will be said, you know, Fernandinho likes to get on the ball from a deep position. There you go. You stop him getting it. And when we win it from Sterling or Sonny, and when Herrera nicks it off of Kevin De Bruyne, you're going to run off Fernandinho and you're going to run forward in support of Lukaku. And that's what I think will be a good tactic. And I would be surprised if it's not something a little bit like that on Sunday.
Interesting. And listen, I like where you're going. But don't you remember the game at when Pep played first time against Jose and Kevin De Bruyne was all over, the rotations and movement that Manchester United couldn't deal with them. These are players who are intelligent footballers, De Bruyne and Silva. They can make runs and cause problems.
What about when Man United stopped Eden Hazard? Didn't they do a man-to-man on Eden Hazard? Yeah. And that was a Jose thing of like, this guy is the key, let's focus on stopping him.
Yeah.
And I think Jose does
Herrera
that.
And Herrera and people
yeah,
around
like
him.
A man-to-man is man going to in man. Crazy yeah. spots. We yeah. saw Herrera right yeah. back with him and everywhere else. So it's something he's done before.
Yeah.
It's something that I'm surprised we haven't seen as yet. Mm. And it's something that might be fascinating because Pep might have a plan for that.
Yeah.
He might have a different scenario. He might
run
be ready for that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of great that we've had to wait a long time for this Manchester derby because the two managers, the legends that they are, have had plenty of evidence to see how the others are working.
Yeah.
And he might do that. Mm. If he does that, then we've got to be ready for this. So the obvious thing is Paul Pogba is the only disappointment. And Pep said today that he liked
his views played to be there.
Yeah, so he can play against the
not
best.
Sure,
yeah,
Pep,
I'm not sure about that. But that how does that affect it, Rob? I mean, well, I'd love to have said he can play in that midfield, but he won't be there.
It affects it in a number of ways, not least because however Manchester United is set up, there'll be an element of counter-attack football. And when you have that counter-attack football, you need to have energy and legs from midfield who can break forward and make things happen. We saw it with Pogba with the third goal for Manchester United at the weekend.
Brilliant, yeah.
Counter-attack, he's off.
One-on-one
with
Cassier,
he can run. He did it similar when Martial scored recently where he goes on the outside, beats the Newcastle play and clips it to the far post. So you lose that drive, that energy, that athleticism that can change games, that through transitions can get you from one part of the pitch into the opposition's penalty area, I think it's a huge loss for Manchester. It's a huge loss for the game. And I don't care what Pep Guardiola says. Manchester City's chance of winning the game are heightened because Paul Pogba's not playing.
Romelu Lukaku.
Big Rom.
One goal in his last 12 appearances in all competitions.
But the manager said he's happy with him. He's working really hard and things. What are you saying? Pinocchio knows.
Yeah, he won't be happy. Yeah, we want his centre forward to score more goals. Zlatan Ibrahimovic, we're not sure why he missed out involved, this against Arsenal, and I'm sure they happen to be careful with his comeback. How worried are you, Lukaku? And let me just, before I let you answer that, in the last few games, Rob, and I don't want to be disrespectful, I don't want to be too harsh, he hasn't looked close enough to a effective Manchester United striker. Our critique is for this club, for the players they've had before
the
playing in that position.
In
any way, yes, he's worked hard and he's been involved in some build-up plays and a little bit of link-up play, but you need more from your striker than that. Is he, after a fantastic start, finding life as a centre-forward at Man United with the expectations that go with it, too much for him?
Well, the only answer to that, the only answer that he can give is goals.
No, Rob. More than goals, Rob, isn't it?
Well, yes, but primarily, if he got 16 goals at this stage, we wouldn't be having this discussion.
But other,
I know these other elements of his game parts. And other things will come, but when push comes to shove, Romelu Lukaku will be judged at the end of the season on the amount of goals he scores for Manchester. People won't be saying, you know what, he only got 10 goals, but he was brilliant for us because he linked the play in and he went down the line and he closed it. No. The currency for top strikers is goals. And Romelu Lukaku in a team like Manchester United that does create chances from counter-attack, they've scored more goals than Arsenal this season, 35 goals for them, more than Liverpool. So these goals in this team, Romelu Lukaku has to continue to regularly get goals.
So he's not,
to
though,
keep...
is he? Right
no.
now, he's not.
And that's
so
what I'm
you're
saying
is, if he doesn't get his fair quota, which is going to be what? It's got to be 20 plus.
It's got to be 20 plus in that team.
If he doesn't do that,
you've got to move him
right
out. Yeah, you might have to move him out. You might have to put Martial there. You might have to put Rashford
there. So you're
there.
Agreeing right now that if the goals don't come,
correct,
then is other parts of his football
not good enough to warrant him being in the team. He's not enough of a threat through other things or what he does to help other people. Mm. And I don't care what Jose is saying about how hard he works. I still think the goals have to come. And so, big game for Lukaku. People keep saying, oh, then he scores his goals in the games that don't matter. If he can get himself on the score sheet against Old Trafford against Manchester City, that does him and the club a huge big favour.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Zlatan thing is going to be interesting and whether he's involved or not. I mean, Lukaku will get given more time. I just wonder how many more games, Rob, and particularly if the results aren't as good as they have been, then he doesn't, you know, he gets fed up and maybe looks to make a change.
Manchester's not only the only derby the weekend. We've got a Merseyside derby. We've got Liverpool v Everton. We've got Big Sam against Jurgen Klopp. Liverpool in good form. Sneakily going about the business, Robbie Musto, in good shape.
Fourth now.
Put five past Brighton. I watched that game last weekend. They were just head and shoulders above Brighton. Does Sam come in and give them a bloody nose? Can he, 7 days now of training on the training ground, working with this Everton team, can he go there and quieten that front three down?
No, he can't.
Give him a chance.
Historically, Big Sam's needed time to figure out the problems. And the players need time to really get to know what he wants. He often figures his problems out as well after signings in the
January.
He's already talked about
to
windows to try and add to what he's got. It's going to take him a few weeks to figure out what he has got and what he needs. I think from Liverpool's point of view, they're so confident. They've got so many options going forward now. Defensively,
talk to me about defense a little
down.
Bit.
Well, I'll tell you, let me tell you straight away. Yeah. Liverpool now fourth place, okay? Yeah. Slightly ahead of Arsenal. Liverpool have scored 33 goals to Arsenal's 29. They've both conceded the same at 19. Mm. So, you know, we've heavily criticised Liverpool for some of the defensive issues they've got. But they've got the same defensive record as Arsenal. Now, I know Arsenal aren't a brilliant team defensively, but is Liverpool's defence that much of an issue? Because if Jurgen Klopp was sat the other side of this desk where we are right now, I think he would say, you guys focus too much on defending. We focus on scoring more goals on the attacking play.
I get you.
And the defensive mistakes won't always be there every week. We'll still win games.
I watched the game against Brighton last weekend and was amazed what I saw in terms of defence, Robbie Musto. I saw Dejan Lovren as a central centre-back. Either side of him were Georgie Wijnaldum and Emre Can.
Weird.
Midfield players next to a centre-back Against a Brighton team, okay, we know that Glenn Murray's not the quickest, but they've got threats in the wide area. They've got runners from midfield. And absolutely worked a treat, by the way.
Three at the back. Often enables for three front players. We know that they've got an amazing kind of
Salah, Firmino, Coutinho. Not bad.
Two in the middle of the park. And then you have your three centre-backs to kind of help out.
Correct.
Where a position where they've not been strong. I kind of like it. So left wing back was...
Left wing back was Robertson.
Yeah. How did he play? Because I was watching. I was focusing on the Spurs.
Got down the wing, was in advanced position, did very little defending, didn't need to. The shape and the system suited him perfectly. Trent Alexander-Arnold was playing on the right-hand side.
Yeah, I liked him.
At times, Henderson dropped in and sat. Chaun took the ball and went into midfield and made things happen. I liked it, by the way.
Is it the future for Liverpool?
Is that the future? Is there enough defensive quality there?
Well, I mean, it kind of makes sense to me. The only thing you would say, we talked about the Fab Four.
Yeah.
I don't know how the Fab Four gets in that.
Well, Mane was on the bench, and that's a problem.
Yeah. And Coutinho played one of those front three.
With Firmino and Salah. So you can't get the four in. You lose one of them.
Unless you're brave enough to play a wing back as Sadio Mane. And play Coutinho as a high forward, sat on the other side.
That would be adventurous, and that would be very good to see. When you add more, you're going to get more ball. Maybe the top six time teams that doesn't happen. But listen, I think that's a good one to look to at Anfield. I think Sam goes there and at least makes it difficult, at least slow it down. Yeah. He knows what he's doing. Experienced campaigner.
Wayne Rooney for Everton, has he been a little bit re-energised with the amazing goal the other night?
We saw the hat-trick against West Ham, incredible third goal. I mean, one of the goals of the season. He was involved in the second goal at the weekend against Woodley. He played the ball through to Dominic Calvert-Lewin. He went on and scored. I think Sam Allardyce loves old, experienced pros who will get him. And I think Wayne Rooney will get him, and I think he'll get the best out of him. I also think he'll get the best out of Gylfi Sigurdsson. I think Sam's one of those men who can almost take you down the pub. Come on, we're going for a pint. And he'll sit and he'll talk and he'll tell you how good you are and how influential you can be and how he can turn you into a player. And he's done it through the past. He's worked with good, experienced players and almost got a bit more out of them.
Let me chuck this in. Let's go back a few years. Let's go back to Bolton Wanderers.
JJ Okocha. All day long.
Ivan Campo. Some of these players that play for him in midfield. Djorkaeff. Is Rooney one of them that Sam's going to love it? And he enjoys him in midfield.
He put legs next to him, so he had Tom Davies next to him. So Davies can do all that running around, probably be in awe of Rooney and make sure he doesn't get looked after.
Is there a holder player as well behind those two?
Garner was the older player, and then he played Sigurdsson off the left, and I think he had Lennon off the right to start.
And I can almost guarantee that Wayne Rooney enjoys that role.
Correct.
Because he can ping it out a little bit. He can get the ball off defenders. He doesn't require other players to get him the ball as a forward because he's there enough to get it from all the defenders.
His lack of speed, maybe running beyond people, isn't a threat. So, listen, Sam will have them set up. Sam will have them ready. Rooney going to Anfield is going to be good. Another great game to look forward to. Listen, mate, just before we start to wrap things up, we've got to throw this one out here because Swansea lost 2-1 at Stoke, having got the lead, went bottom of the table. We're in an era where we've seen lots of managerial changes at the bottom of the league. Swansea and Paul Clement. Do we think he survives this? Should he survive this? Is the phone call to Tony Pulis about to come anytime? Tony, in you come, my friend. You know what?
And we've been here so many times on Sunday. And we're like, and for me, so I'm Mr. Softy. Yeah. I'm like, you know what? I know it's bad right now, but give him some more time.
Tomorrow we wake
up.
And
then Monday.
We see the official thing in our email, don't we? Official press conference.
Another one. And I've been, I guess, wrong so many times. Like, you know what? He shouldn't go yet. And I'm at that point again now with Paul Clement. Don't fire him. He deserves longer. He deserves another window. He's a good man. He's only been there 11 months, I think, Robbie Earl. Give him some time. He got a blow of losing Llorente and Sigurdsson that we said about. But we thought, when we saw the transfer replacements, Renato Sanchez and Wilfred Bonny again back to Swansea.
Sanchez has not
that
worked.
That makes sense.
Sanchez hasn't worked.
He hasn't worked. Yeah. And Bonny's been injured.
But he's got his first goal.
So what do we expect? So what do we expect from them to this point, Rob, if those two players haven't done it?
Well, Tom Carroll...
Is it the manager's fault?
No, but the manager has to take some responsibility. They've scored eight
goals.
He
didn't sell those two players. No, he wouldn't have wanted to sell them.
Of course he didn't, but the club did. And so you've got to move on. No, you're looking back. they're better than that. Tammy Abraham comes in. Got to get him playing regularly and scoring goals. Obviously, you've got to get the shape of the team right. Listen, they were 1-0 up against Stoke, Rob. Leroy Fer, who's a decent player.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. Loses a ball in midfield. It gives Stoke an opportunity to transition. 1-1, the game's changed.
And it's about mistakes.
Individual errors, isn't it?
So often, of course, the focus of our podcast and our topics is on things that go wrong. And so many times of the teams that go wrong is individual errors. Yeah. It's not necessarily the manager's tactics or system that's a problem.
This weekend, individual errors. Koscielny, Mustafi, cost you goals. Transitions, how many times do we see transitions lead to goals?
Is it the manager's fault for not saying to players like Wenger, to the defenders, listen guys, expect a high press, let's be sharp, let's be sure on the ball, let's make sure we don't give the ball away, because that's what United do time and time again?
Not necessarily, but I just think that football club owners don't ask that question maybe in the way we do. They look at things and say, do I need to make a change to make sure I stay in this league?
What do you think? Do you think You're the owner of Swansea right now.
I would give him time, because I think I took this guy to get me out of trouble.
And he did it.
Last year, and he did it. So he's got some track record. He's got some history. Let me give him a window and try again. I'm not going to say that he gets the whole of the season. If things still continue to go wrong after the transfer window, I might decide to make a call then. But I believe him, in Paul Clement. I think he's a really good coach waiting to come out there. I think he needs a bit of time. He needs a bit of experience. He'll have learned some lessons. He might not get seduced by Renato Sanchez, who's a great signing, but maybe you've got to go a little bit more bread and butter and hard-working midfield player who just gives you something in the middle of the park.
But we have been around this game a long time, Rob. week is a long time in football. Swansea at West Bromwich Albion. Yeah. I'd say to you, if Swansea lose at home, 2-0 or whatever,
and stay bottom of the table, and
maybe 4 or 5
points
adrift.
Next Monday, Monday, Tony Pulis will be heading.
So
he's
a
Welshman.
We both say about longer with January windows, but the reality is, it's blimmin' week to week. And if that result's not good next week with them at the bottom of the league, he absolutely could go on the Monday.
Absolutely. We wish Paul Clements well. We'll keep our eyes on that one. So that's it from us today. Now we want to hear from you, our listeners. First, we'd love you to rate and view the shows by downloading The Two Robbies on Apple Podcasts. Tell us what you like, but more importantly, tell us who you support and why. And we'll read out the best 2 or 3 responses on our next podcast. So, United beat Arsenal at the Emirates. City left it late, but won against West Ham. So we were nicely set up for a Manchester derby. And the small matter of the Merseyside derby. Can Sam Allardyce go to Anfield and stink the place out and get a result? I'm Earl. He's Must Oak, together with the Two Robbies. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.